Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
Thanks for joining us today. April Fools.
Oh.
Happy April.
What if you just totally switched it up on me and we weren't doing this right now?
Oh yeah, what if we were just like, hey, April Fools, no clinical corner this month.
But it just silenced for like 30 minutes.
That would be funny. Maybe we'll play a practical joke on our listeners someday, but not today.
We always have ideas.
We are here for an actual clinical corner article, our April 24 episode, and we got something kind of hot off the press. This is it's interesting. We were at the UK Career Fair and got to talk with some of their faculty.
Yes, shout out to those students.
Yep, to the students. We appreciate meeting everyone there, and we appreciate meeting the UK faculty and talking with them. Great team down there. We actually had Matt Lee from UK come and do one of our Con Ed courses.
Our clinicians love Matt.
Yeah, back in February, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
The first weekend of March. So, but I was actually talking to another faculty down there, Dr. Hazel, and he was telling me about an article that he was working on and just some developing trends and different topics. So I thought it would be great to include in our clinical corner kind of podcast here, because this is right out from January 24. So it's quite interesting. There's a name in physical therapy, Bill Boisenault. Bill was kind of like a great pioneer for physical therapy and has done a lot, not only in the diagnostic and imaging sections of physical therapy, but also in kind of screening and looking at red flags and looking at medical testing for physical therapists so that we can do a great job with direct access and screen out patients that might need referral for other issues or other items not related to physical therapy.
So Bill is like the PT rock star.
Yeah, he's done a lot with that. And I know Dr. Hazel's been very, very involved with imaging and served on different committees related to imaging. And so we kind of got to talking about that. And so the title of this article is Diagnostic and Procedural Imaging Curricula in Physical Therapist Professional Degree Programs.
An update. Okay.
So this is kind of a research report article.
Okay. That they're using in basically colleges, they're saying, in PT schools.
Yeah, so they're looking at the different curricula, and they're looking at different PT programs and saying, what is the current teaching on imaging, and do we need to be looking at developing it, or is it adequate, or is there opportunity to basically change around the curriculum? Just like at Oxford Physical Therapy, we were always looking at what the latest, greatest techniques are. They're doing this in physical therapy programs too, and if there's different emerging trends, they might include different things in the education just to keep it current and keep it up to date.
Very cool.
Yeah, so kind of just to educate everyone just for a second, when we talk about diagnostic imaging, we're talking about MRIs, x-rays, ultrasounds, CT scans, those sort of tests that look at, you know, structures like bones, muscles, joints, and kind of to see if they're intact, are there fractures, are there tears, those sort of things. So this whole point of this study is to look at our physical therapists being educated on that, because different states are now actually including physical therapists as healthcare practitioners that can refer for these tests. So as we record this episode here, there are three states that actually have language related to allowing physical therapists to order different types of tests. And
cool.
Yeah, so there's actually discussion. I was talking with Dr. Hazel. I think there's discussion, and they're presenting this information to the state of Kentucky also. And that may be moving in a direction where that may be allowed someday in the near future in Kentucky. So that would be kind of exciting. But currently, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and North Dakota all have different language related to allowing physical therapists to order certain tests and, you know, prescribe that.
When you say language, it means like the law.
Yeah,
okay.
The law. Johnny Law. So okay. It's been put in black and white.
Well,
and
it's in a book somewhere.
And it can happen.
The rule book.
So, yeah. So by nature of this article, I don't have a great question for our students. This is more just kind of an update. And, you know, if I was not that I'm a young PT, but if I was a young PT, I would be very interested in this topic because when I think back to emerging trends when I was graduating, we had direct access.
Color TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
So it was exciting for me in the early, late 90s, early 2000s. Direct access was the big buzzword. And now our listeners should know that they have direct access.
Yep.
Which means they can come straight to Oxford Physical Therapy without a prescription or referral, save time and money, get treated right away, no need to wait, no need to spend time on the sidelines, go ahead and get treated and get better.
Yeah.
But back in the day, that wasn't always the case. Yeah. You had to have a prescription, you had to have a referral, and it was exciting for me getting out at that time when it was changing and we didn't need that anymore. And then I would say the other biggest advance would have been dry needling. And
okay.
that whole practice of being able to needle patients are probably the two biggest changes. But I would lump this in as like on the horizon. This is probably one of the biggest practice advances that would happen. And it's not to say now that we're not screening for patients that need these tests. Often we might do an evaluation or do an injury screen and we say, oh,
this needs to go.
We
a step
found
further.
This patient. I don't really like the way this is looking for whatever reason. We need to get you to someone to get this test done.
Okay.
And so we still have a process to facilitate and make that happen. And I can give actually a real recent case study. One of our therapists did an injury screen on an individual who was coming from a clinic that is located inside of a gym. And this individual was doing some bench press and felt some tightness and pain in his pec. And thought, you know what, I'm going to go get this checked out at the encouragement of his wife, which a lot of us, I won't say all guys, but a lot of us guys need a little nudge, and
yes.
he needed a little nudge.
And you should always listen to your wives.
I 100% agree, Allie. Hopefully my wife is listening and hears me second that.
Okay, good.
But anyway, he did come in for the injury screen right after it happened, and the physical therapist determined that he needed further testing based on her exam, and it ended up, unfortunately for this individual, that he had ruptured the pec muscle in his chest.
Whoa.
Yeah, so just an example that, yeah, we don't have testing now, but we can still determine that this does need testing, get them to the right situation. The change that they're talking about would be, in that scenario, the physical therapist would be the one to write the order for the test and send the patient to whomever to get that test done versus sending them to another healthcare practitioner, then they get
redo
the test.
The process.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it basically just saving a step. And there would probably be, I think, in the different states, not practicing in West Virginia, Wisconsin, or North Dakota. I'm not too intimately familiar, but I do think it is pretty restricted to like x-rays and maybe not other diagnostic tests, but who knows what may come. So
would it ever come to it where a physical therapist could take an x-ray?
That's the question. You know, I think there would probably be something that would be referred and then read by a radiologist versus done in our offices and read by a physical therapist. But I think all those things have to be fleshed out as we get different, you know, laws and rules and training and whatnot as it comes. But, you know, it's interesting in this article. They talked to faculty from 164 programs. It was about a 60% response rate, which is pretty good. And the faculty were basically asked to assess the students' ability to use patient referral clinical guidelines for different tests. So they looked at x-rays, they looked at MRI, they looked at CT scan, ultrasound, and bone scan. And the faculty was asked to basically assess the student competence, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5. And basically, I'll kind of just read them off, but Allie will have the article link for you. So student confidence for x-rays was the highest. It was 4.2 out of 5. MRI was second, was 3.7. CT scan was 3.6. Same with ultrasound, 3.6. And bone scan, 3.3.
Okay, so not terrible.
Yeah, not terrible. But, you know, so they were kind of trying to gauge from the faculty, like, if we wanted to increase student confidence and student competency with this, What would be, how would we do this? And so most frequently they just said an increased emphasis on imaging during clinical education experiences, which I thought was interesting. You know, it's important. I think we are interviewing students on our clinicals and have hosting a lot of students on clinicals. And I think sometimes we undervalue what a tremendous learning opportunity that is for students, especially when they're in a setting such as ours where it's direct access, mm-hmm. and you are seeing a lot of these patients and you're saying, well, I'm not sure. I think this person may need XYZ test. And so that clinical practice, the faculty felt like really was going to be the thing that would drive those numbers of competency and confidence in diagnostic testing up. And that makes a lot of sense to me because you can certainly learn indications. There are different things we talk about from an analytical standpoint, like Ottawa ankle rules are a set of rules related to when should you recommend an X-ray for the ankle.
Oh, wow.
And it's certain
okay.
criteria. Or Canadian C-spine rules. There are different rules related to when a patient would need an X-ray for their cervical spine or neck. But it's kind of like a little bit, I would say, abstract until you see that patient sitting in front of you and you have to run them through in your head. Okay, they fit into these different rules. Wait a minute, lights go off, buzzers go off, and you're like, oh, that's what those rules are for. And so I agree. I think that clinical practice is going to be hallmark in developing, you know, these skills and kind of taking it to that next level.
Very cool.
The interesting thing is that all of the states do have different criteria. So, so far on record, the ones that I looked at, the states that do have diagnostic testing are all related to the physical therapist having a DPT degree. So that'll be interesting if that, you know, comes into our area, how that'll be administered. And it's, I have different thoughts about that. I'm sure there'll be debates and questions. You know, if someone had didn't have a DPT degree but had specializations or OCSs or certain number of years of practice, does that weigh out more than someone who had an entry-level DPT degree and 2 months experience?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the faculty feels like clinical experience is what's going to be the driver on getting someone more competent. I would think it may be, you know, maybe you get these privileges after a certain number of hours of practice, or, you know, at certain, you could, you know,
like they apply almost, for it, you think?
Or? Yeah, maybe like apply for those privileges. I don't know. I'm just kind of brainstorming, talking theoretically here. So it just was interesting to me that they said, well, clinical practice is the way you're going to get better at this. But if you graduate with a DPT, then you can do it and you have no clinical practice to go off of. So just kind of interesting that I'm sure will be a point of debate that if this goes further as we talk more about it in the profession as far as, you know, what are going to be the indications for ordering those tests.
Wild things happening.
Yeah. So we'll put this article up. You know, it's exciting stuff. I think the field of physical therapy is an exciting field to be a part of. And I think it's good to be a patient in today's world and having so many options for treatment and so many well-trained professionals at Oxford Physical Therapy ready to help you.
There's just nothing we can't do.
That's right.
How do you feel if you were to read a X-ray right now?
Well, I think it depends. You know, you get competent in areas that you spend time looking at, you know. So like if I saw, you know, I've seen a lot of different shoulder X-rays. I'm by no means any expert, but I can see different things on those.
Yeah.
But maybe if I looked at an X-ray of like the midfoot or the hand, I may not see that as well. So I think each practitioner of their craft has to be careful to stay in an area where they feel comfortable and proficient. But, you know, I think there's many times that it would be, would have been in my career an advantage to be able to make a referral for someone to get that test done, because maybe trying to get them to another practitioner just becomes a little bit of a barrier, especially if you're, you know, maybe like on a weekend or something like that. I'm thinking of these different things that you run into when you're at events and things like that. So I could definitely see advantages of this moving forward with the right training. I think it offers, again, just a lot of benefit to the patient.
Yeah. Limitless we are.
That's right. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com, and you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a bee visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it movin'!